Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Today, we are crossing the Atlantic for somebody who's actually traveled all over the world and done business in some very, very fun countries, which we're going to find out a little bit more about. And not long ago, opened up a firm called the East Agency. And his name is Dietrich Heinink, and he is the CEO and founder of the East Agency. And he does a lot of stuff that is going to be very, very valuable to all of you. One, helps with business marketing strategy. Now, a lot of people really kind of, shake their head and say, so many people say that, but this is the real deal. He's done it for huge companies from a communications and marketing standpoint, especially when it comes to fintech. I'm super excited to have an opportunity to learn from him. And so, Dietrich, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Matt.
All right, let's tell everybody a little bit about yourself, man. How did you get to where you are, and talk a little bit about your pedigree and your history and stuff like that, please.
Yeah, sure. Well, again, happy to be here. Well, I was born 48 years ago. I still can't believe it myself if I hear it, but in the Netherlands, it was near Hilversum in the middle of the country. It's actually the media city of the country. Currently living in Amsterdam, one of my favorite places in the world, although I've been living in more places around the world. And my career, if I skip to that one, has actually always been in marketing, communications, and sales. And I think one thing is really connecting all the different jobs and things I did is that it's always been very entrepreneurial. Even if I was in a permanent role with a corporate, but and obviously also when I did the things for my own company or for a own company, it's always been a very entrepreneurial approach to what I was doing. Well, anyway, and after having my own agency for a while, also in Asia, in Hong Kong, and in Singapore, and also back in the Netherlands, having worked in several as we call it in the Netherlands, interim jobs. So doing specific projects for companies in marketing and communications, in this case, mostly in finance, not always. In the beginning of my career, I was working for agencies. Then a lot of those interim projects for, especially financials. I mean, I once started there and, they kept on asking me back and doing new projects again. Yeah, and then up till via the entrepreneurial adventures in Asia, now started only in September last year with East, which is a fintech marketing agency.
So elaborate on what that means to you. This is what is fascinating to me, because so a lot of people think that fintech markets itself. How do you help fintech develop and steer their marketing and business strategy?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Well, first of all, fintech, of course, is still very young segment, so to speak, a very young sector. And my definition is it's all companies who have a technology solution for the financial services sector, actually. So it's quite broad. And then some people say, you also have InsurTech or other tech companies within the financial industry, but to me that's all fintech as well, to be honest. So it's a huge market, first of all. So it's I think estimates are around 20,000 companies in the world, and I'm not surprised if it would be even more. So it's a quite a crowded space, because it's quite low. It has a low barrier of entry, I think. And there are a lot of smart people around the world who know about the technology. So a lot are starting these fintech companies also, because I think there's a lot money to make. But what you then get is most of them are technology guys and girls or product specialists, and not always per se marketeers. But given the fact that it's a crowded space, there's a high need to market themselves. And I think now it's slowly but surely this sector is maturing. These companies also discover that indeed they need to have a real professional marketing strategy and communication strategy in place to distinct themselves in this crowded space. And that's actually where East can help.
Now, financial services professionals in general have the same issue. It's a crowded space. What do you recommend to help your companies rise above the noise and get attention?
Yeah, well, that's a very good one. This is actually, this is a topic, well, obviously, I would say, but it's an interesting one. I discuss a lot with my clients and with partners in the business and sector. I think what you see now is a lot of digital marketing agencies and companies entering the market, or they have entered the market over the past years, of course. And I mean it with all respect. But what you not always see is that the content marketing, for example, they're developing for their clients or just the marketing strategies, it's quite often, I think, about volume. You know, just like you have to be out there. You need 10 LinkedIn posts per month, or you need 20 tweets per month. And well, I think if I may use the word, that's quite bullshitty, because in the end, it's about brands and companies, and they should be relevant and distinctive in the market, right? In the end, they all have competitors, and they should stand out from the crowd. Well, that doesn't happen, at least not just on volume, but especially on qualitative and distinctive marketing strategy, and hence content. So that's really key in actually all the discussions I have with my clients. From that point of view, the basics of Philip Kotler, I think, are still there. You have to distinct yourself from your competitors. And if you don't think about it and just think, oh, I have to push on the channels, and have to be there all the time, that doesn't always do the trick.
So volume isn't the issue. It's the quality of the message. Now, if you don't mind, and I'm not trying to get to your secret sauce here, man, that's not necessarily, I don't want you to give trade secrets away, but if you could tell our audience maybe a couple of questions that you might ask to help them have that epiphany of really what makes them unique and different. Diederik, every marketing person has their own line of questions, and we all kind of try to get to the same thing. Do you have anything that's kind of like your go-to question, line of questions that would help maybe jog our financial services professionals' brain to pull that out of their brain?
Yeah, I think you always have to be and that's in my point of view, really the core of marketing, especially marketing communications. Always try to ask yourself, or the company you're working for, or the client you're working for, I think, really go to the core. So really try to ask that extra question to really find out what makes this company or this product or their service, what makes it different for the user of the product, the user or the customer of the product, or the prospected customer at least. Because I think quite often we do not ask that extra question, and we think, okay, well, this is okay, and then we start creating a marketing campaign or a content marketing campaign or whatever we choose to do, and we go out. But I think if you ask just a couple of extra questions to yourself or to the advisor you're working with or to the client you're working with, so why are you really here, and what's really your view on launching this service and product, what problem does it solve, etc., and really go into depth. Then you really find out the crux, the key to what's really the distinctive element, and that should be the basis, I think, then for every marketing and communications campaign that you start. You can build from there, actually.
Now, dude, that was great. Yeah, that was awesome. And a lot of it, everybody, is that second and third level question. When somebody says, what problem do you solve? Or I help people, have a successful retirement. Okay, well, give me more, right? You have to give me more than that, because that's the cursory answer. And what people really want is that depth. And that's what it sounds to me like East does, is it helps create that brand and messaging and communication depth, which is freaking awesome. Now, Dietrich, you're not the first international person that we've had on the show, but I think it would be negligent of me not to have our audience have a chance to maybe get to know you personally a little bit better. I think it's pretty darn clear about who you are and what you do, but now I want to get to know you as a human. Do you mind if I ask you some basic human questions?
Of course. No.
So when you're not being an entrepreneur and traveling all over the place, what do you do for fun?
Well, then I still travel, but then for fun, actually, we just came back from South Africa, which was amazing. So I'm living together with my girlfriend. We only met 2.5 years ago, so that's still quite fresh, and it's amazing. We both love to travel. South Africa, for example, was a place we both never been before, so that's a great adventure on itself, you know, to both discover a new country. I mean, we were only there for 2 weeks. It's not like we've seen the whole country, but it was amazing. I love sports. I also do that, obviously, to stay fit for the work that I do. You know, I mean, you make quite some hours, and you know, you want to stay fresh in the head, so it works for that. But I just love to do sports as well. It's just that's the advantage of being an entrepreneur. Although it's afternoon, I just came back from the gym where I spend an hour.
Nice.
No, so that's great. I play soccer with a team of guys here in near Amsterdam, so that's great. Yeah, living in Amsterdam, we love to discover new places, you know, new restaurants or bars. Amsterdam has developed big time over the years, so you'll find actually a lot of really good, you know, restaurants and places to be. Yeah, so spend also quite some time with my family, who they live in the Netherlands, and then my sister, she decided to move with her family last year, her husband and 3 kids, to Spain, which is not a bad place. So from time to time we visit them, and that's near Malaga, so the weather is always good somehow there. So that's great.
I know this might sound like a weird question, but how many languages do you speak?
Yeah, that's a question we get a lot of times, being Dutch.
Yeah.
It's Dutch, obviously, English, German, which is not as good as my English, but it's pretty good. And especially because it's German for us, it's relatively easy. Hmm. And I also speak French and a little bit of Italian.
So when you were in Hong Kong, what was your primary language?
That was English.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
English. Okay. Now, yeah, I was actually going to start to learn Mandarin, but that's what's around the period that I went back to the Netherlands again. Gotcha. So I never did it.
Who is your hero?
Well, only yesterday I said to somebody, it was actually this morning, coincidentally, I talked to an advisor and I said, well, actually, I don't believe really in having heroes, and I might really not have one. But actually, I have to say, and it might be a bit of a cliche, but and especially being a marketer, I think Steve Jobs, I think, is really, hero is a big word, but I highly admire what he all did, and his vision on marketing and design and innovation, of course. So I think that's amazing what he has brought to the world, also in terms of, you know, philosophy and mindset and stuff like that.
When you think of the word success, how do you define it, and what does that look like to you?
Yeah, I love to build. I guess it's one of the reasons I'm an entrepreneur now. So I really love to build a company. That's one. But so I guess part of success would be that in 3 or 5 years you can say, that's really interesting. You know, I build a company working with several people now. But most importantly, I think I really love to help to build the companies of the clients I'm working for. So if I see that, so currently I'm working for several clients. I'm lucky enough to have, you know, quite a few clients already. And when you see that it's working, what you're helping them with, and that marketing or your marketing strategy really helps to grow their company, and that's what marketing should do, I think. Mm-hmm. Then I think you can speak of success, and of course then it will be the success of ease as well. So I guess that for me is success.
What is one thing that you recommend most to family, friends, or clients? Now, this can be a book, this can be a TED Talk, this can be, I don't even know. But what is your kind of go-to thing that you're like, yeah, I like you, you should do this?
That's a good one. Well, maybe read the biography of Steve Jobs. I think that was a very very interesting one. And of course, you learn there that quite a lot of people didn't think he was that nice a guy. but also his the way he gained the success that he had, and how he was dealing with that, and how he was managing himself, his life, and Apple. So I think it's also great. I even bought. I didn't just read the biography. I also bought the book with all the one-liners that he had.
Oh,
Yeah, it's interesting. I just go through it, and it's for example, you know, the one of those famous one-liners, like never settle for less, you know, and eight people hire eight people and stuff like that. You know, it might now sound simple, but you know, he came up with a lot of those one-liners for the first time. You know.
Yeah, unbelievable. A lot of people didn't like him, but they sure liked what happened working with him. One of the greatest things I think I heard was, you know, I have never wanted to be the best until I worked for Steve. Like I finally realized what my potential really possibly could be because he always pushed. You know, and as a leader and as an entrepreneur, like you and I both are, that's kind of inherent, right? That's in our DNA that we want to push people to be their absolute best. And sometimes that's received very well, and sometimes it's not. So as we wrap up today's podcast, you said that you have a client. So let's talk about who your ideal client is, because we have a lot of different listeners on this podcast. Pretty much everybody's in financial services, whether that's, you know, again, fintech, whether they're in communications marketing, financial services professionals, insurance agents, broker dealers, IMOs, FMOs, things like that. If we could get this podcast in somebody's hands to help you out the most for being such a gracious guest, who would we want to get this in front of?
Yeah, well, it can be quite various. But for example, I'm not sure if I can mention, but probably I can. I can mention some names. But one of my clients, for example, is Suburbia, which is a great startup from Amsterdam. They're an alternative data provider, and so what they do is they get in alternative data. These are data, for example, coming from GPS, satellite, or shipping receipts, etc. Well, simply said, they read them in very, you know, snackable formats and insights, but in such a way that it's really valuable management information or marketing information for their clients, for example, retailers or financial institutions. Well, so I help them. I'm actually more or less their CMO on a distance, because that's also one of the services that I bring. So that's one. I still do some work for ING, the big Dutch bank, but also I work for, well, let me think, three actually, payment providers, you know, so who help financial institutions or other parties in the financial sector process payments, for example. So it can be it's quite various. But having worked, especially before I started this, for those years with ING, specifically in the fintech and innovation quarter, and also my years before that in financial industry, I think there it really helps, because you really know what you're talking about. You know the business, and that also makes that what I was talking about earlier, that you can ask that second or third or fourth question, you know. And I think that that's what makes the difference. But it's great. So it's a variety of clients, but again, it's obviously it's all within the fintech industry.
Now, you said that you offer CMO as a service. Would you mind just explaining what that is? Because I think really just the ideal clients and who you're just talking about, the CMO as a service is a great opportunity for our listeners to potentially hire you to do that. Would you mind explaining that a little bit?
No, sure. Of course, the as a service is a bit of a hyped to use it that way, but I thought it was it's very clear to use it that way also for the CMO role. So what I do is, especially for the smaller, for the startups or scale-up companies, obviously not for the ING's of this world or the real corporates, but for startups or scale-ups who might not have the budget or they're just not big enough to have a CMO full time or maybe even for 3-4 days a week on their payroll, they can, well, hire as a CMO. So we just agree, let's say 15 hours or 20 hours or 30 hours a month. And most of the times it's my self doing that as well, help those clients defining their, first of all, marketing strategy, but then, of course, also executing it. And that we do not always do all ourselves, but we coordinate that. From a strategy perspective, so we get in the best copywriters or designers or whatever is needed, or video editors, whatever is needed to execute the marketing strategy. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. What is the best way for people to reach out to you to engage you and find out more about who you are and what you do?
Obviously, they can go to the website that I'm really proud of, that a very good friend who's a great creative director developed for me. So that's www.east.marketing. Or otherwise, just drop me a note or a message on LinkedIn. I think that always, I think LinkedIn is a great platform and it works very well for me as well.
And we will make sure that we put the show notes to your LinkedIn profile and to your website. So, Diederik, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Matt.
Diederik Heinrich. Dang it, I had the R in there. Give it to me again, will you?
Heinrich.
I'm just going to let you say that. Okay, he's the co-founder of the East Agency. You know, everybody who's been on the podcast before knows that I really try my best for names, but for some reason, my mouth just doesn't make that sound. I don't know. Anyway, for everybody at East Agency and everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Halloran. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And if you wouldn't mind, take 2 seconds and just give us a rating on iTunes. That will help us out hugely and also give us a great opportunity to find out what sort of feedback you might have on what you might want to hear. Or if you do have a topic idea that you would love to hear on the podcast, make sure that you just email me at matt@topadvisorm.com. We'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.